The first reading is from the book of the Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 to 11, found on page 58 in the church Bibles. Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. One day, while Moses was taking care of the sheep and goats of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, he led the flock across the desert and came to Sinai, the holy mountain. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him as a flame coming from the middle of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but that it was not burning up. "This is strange," he thought. "Why isn't the bush burning up? I will go closer and see." When the Lord saw that Moses was coming closer, he called to him from the middle of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." He answered, "Yes, here I am." God said, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, because you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So Moses covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have seen how cruelly my people are being treated in Egypt. I've heard them cry out to be rescued by their slave drivers. I know all about their sufferings. And so I have come down to rescue them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of Egypt to a spacious land, one which is rich and fertile, and in which the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites now live. I have indeed heard the cry of my people, and I see how the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now I am sending you to the king of Egypt, so that you can lead my people out of his country." But Moses said to God, "I am nobody. How can I go to the king and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?"
It started out as just an ordinary day for Moses. He was just going about his everyday work. He was doing his job. He suddenly saw, as we've just read, this bush burning. Apparently, I'm told, I've never been there, but I'm told it's quite a common thing in the deserts of the area for bushes to suddenly catch light, to do with the heat and that. But the strange thing was that this never burnt out. And he suddenly realised that something special had cut into his ordinary day. And we didn't read it, but if we read into 12, when God asked Moses to go and do this job for him, God answered, "I will be with you." God never asks us to do anything that he isn't with us, backing us up.
The New Testament reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verses 1 to 9. Found on page 159 in the New Testament section of the Church Bibles. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 9. The conversion of Saul. In the meantime, Saul kept up his violent threats of murder against the followers of the Lord. He went to the high priest and asked for letters of introduction to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he should find there any followers of the way of the Lord, he would be able to arrest them, both men and women, and bring them back to Jerusalem. As Saul was coming near the city of Damascus, suddenly a light from the sky flashed round him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he asked. "I am Jesus, whom you persecute," the voice said. But get up and go into the city, where you will be told what you must do. The men who were travelling with Saul had stopped, not saying a word. They heard the voice, but could not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground and opened his eyes, but he could not see a thing. So they took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. For 3 days he was not able to see, and during that time he did not eat or drink anything.
Today is the first Sunday in Advent, as we've seen by lighting our first candle. It leads up to the coming of the Lord Jesus at Christmas, doesn't it, when we will light the white one. God sent Jesus into the world at Christmas to save lost people. But today I want us to concentrate more on us. What are we doing for the Lord Jesus? God's done his part. What part are we taking in the Christmas event? When we read the Old Testament, or we read and the New Testament of the Bible, you will find many great men and women there that did great things for God. Men like Noah. We read of Noah that he was a righteous man and he walked with God. So when God told him to build a dirty great big boat miles from the nearest deep water, he didn't stop to worry about what his family, friends and neighbours would think of him. He rolled up his sleeves and built an ark. You see, because he was listening to God, he was with God, and because Noah was faithful in doing God's bidding and making that ark, mankind was saved. Have you ever realised if Noah hadn't have built that boat, the world would have been wiped out of all living things? But because Noah was faithful, mankind carried on. Another great man in the Bible, Abraham. God told him to leave his comfortable life and take his extended family and become a refugee in a land called Canaan. Because Abraham did as God asked him to do, a great nation was born, through whom, we read in the Bible, all nations on earth will be blessed because Abraham was faithful. Would we, and I include me in this, be willing to give up our comfortable lifestyle and step out in faith for our God? Abraham was. We read of Moses, didn't we? A man that at first was reluctant to do God's bidding. He claimed that he wasn't up to the job that God told him and asked him to do. But he did it. He was asked to lead the people out of Egypt. He led a great group of slaves out of Egypt. And because he was faithful to God, he marched a nation into the promised land. But it wasn't only the men, was it? There was Esther too, a lady that God thought so much of that she had her own book just for her. It was all written about her. She is the queen of King Xerxes, and she finds out there's a plot being hatched in the land to wipe out all the Jews that lived in the land, in that kingdom. Queen Xerxes put her life on the line to save the Jews, partly because she was a Jew too, but she wanted to save the Jewish nation. You see, she could have kept her mouth shut and just let all the other Jews being killed and just carried on. But she chose to speak up for her people? Are we willing to speak up for God to people when it may be uncomfortable or it may put our lives in danger? And I'm sure that you can think of many more men and women that stood great in God's eyes and did wonderful things for him in both the Old and the New Testament. And lastly, I'll mention one more. She's very prominent at this time of year, Mary, the mother of Jesus. A young girl, what did she have to say when God told her that about his plans for her? Great plans, weren't they? Her thoughts went not on herself, but on what this would do for mankind. She saw the bigger picture. She was only a kiddie, some say as young as 12. She could have been a bit older. But she walked with God so closely that she could see his bigger picture. And she said this when she realized what God was asking of her. My heart praises the Lord. My soul is glad because of God my Saviour. For he has redeemed me, his lowly servant. For now on all the people will call me happy because of the great things the mighty God has done for me. His name is holy. From one generation to another, he shows mercy to those who honour him. He has stretched out his mighty arm and scattered the proud with all their plans. That's part of the Mephat, I can't pronounce it, Mephat, we say, that she gave. She realised that man's plans come to nothing. Are our plans for this Christmas our plans, or are they God's plans? But this morning I want us to look at Paul's conversion. We read it in Acts 9, verses 1 to 9. But if we read Acts 8, verse 3, we read this, that Saul began to destroy the church in Jerusalem, going from house to house, where he dragged out men and women and dragged them off to the prison. He was a nasty bit of work. When he'd done his worst in Jerusalem, he went to the high priest and asked him to give him a letter to take to the leaders of the synagogue in Damascus, so that he could, if he found any, he could drag out these people who are called follow the way, we call them nowadays Christians. If he found any, he would round them up and take them as prisoners back to Jerusalem. He was determined to crush this religion, this faith, this teaching of the Lord Jesus. But as we read and we know, you know that what happened on that journey. Saul met Jesus on the journey and it changed his life forever. Isn't that true? When the Lord meets us personally, it can change our lives forever. We think about Jesus and Paul, at Paul's conversion. Have you ever noticed that there was somebody else involved who played a very important part in it? We read that he was just an ordinary chap. If we have read Acts 9 and verse 10, I deliberately stopped at 9, if we were verse 10, we would have found out, we would have read, there was a disciple named Ananias. Who was this man? Luke used the word certain disciple, which implies that he was nobody special, nobody outstanding, nobody of importance. For little is said of him and is only referred to in one other scripture. But what we do know of him, about him, is that he was a disciple of Jesus and one that God was able to use. Ananias was spoken to by name, suggesting that he was in communion with God through prayer. A and he was ready to do whatever God requires him to do. Paul said of him in Acts 22 verse 21, having a good report. Today we'd probably say of him that people respected him and held him in good regard. He was a devout man of God, we also read. He was a disciple that God was able to use. He did not boast about what he did for the Lord. He kept quiet about it. He didn't go around telling everybody. Here's a challenge for us. Do people have a good report of us? Do we walk closely with God? Are we ready to do whatever and go wherever God asks us to do or to go? Do we boast about what we do for God? I had a friend, I'd known him for years. We were in the Sunday school together, named Lou. We went right through the Sunday school, through the Bible class, and when we grew up, we both ran a youth work at our church. But it wasn't until his funeral that I found out that he'd been smuggling Bibles into Russia during the communist reign. We all thought he was away working on a boat, but he was actually smuggling Bibles into Russia. He never told anybody. I don't know whether his wife knew or not, but he kept it to himself. He was prepared to do work, wonderful work for the Lord, but he didn't want to take any credit for it. I believe that God has a place for each one of us in his great plan. Like Ananias, the Lord still seeks to place his people in certain locations. They may be in the forefront of his work, or it could be in the shadows. And it's true, isn't it? No church could function without their ladies who make the cups of tea and the coffees and the biscuits and the sandwiches. Those who tidy the church afterwards. God has a place for each one of us. We may be in the forefront of things. We may be in the background. Do you remember an old chorus? I don't know whether you've ever sung it. It goes, are you in your small corner? And I am mine. That puts it in perspective. We've each got our own little slot that God's got for us to work in. Are we ready and willing to do it? Have you ever heard the name of Dr. Ham? Maybe you have. He was a minister in a small Baptist church in the south of the USA. But I'm sure you've heard of one of the young converts, a young lad that came to him and he brought him to love the Lord. And that young lad's name was Billy Graham. And we all know what Billy Graham has done for the Lord. Thousands of people have come to love the Lord. I wonder what would have happened if Dr. Ham had not been ready and willing to do God's bidding. Whatever God asks you to do, or wherever he puts you to do, to serve him, do it. It may bring problems, it may cause hardship, but the Lord is faithful. I read some time ago of a young couple that were going to get engaged, but they suddenly decided they'd go to Bible study, a Bible college, because they wanted to be missionaries. And they went and did the course, and at the end, they came out and they were going to go on the mission field as a married couple and serve the Lord. But when they finished, she had a great desire to go to India and he had a burning desire to go to Africa. Now I wonder what we would do. Would we put our self-interest first? They didn't. He went to Africa, she went to India. Or the other way round, I mean. She went to India, he went to Africa. And it took 7 years before they met again and got married. Are we prepared to give that commitment to our Lord? Do you remember in the book of Acts, Philip is holding a very successful series of meetings, and many people are coming to know Jesus through them. When right in the middle of Philip's success, God tells him to forget what he's doing and go to the south into the desert to meet a senior official of the who served the Queen of Ethiopia. Leave what he was doing to go to meet just one man. What a strange request to leave a very successful work for the Lord and go into the desert to meet just one man. I wonder, would we stop and argue with the Lord if he gave us a command like that? Would we be saying, you can't be serious? Or, are you sure? Did you really mean what you said? No, Philip dropped everything and went. If he'd stopped to query God's command, he would have missed meeting the Ethiopian eunuch. And we'd probably not have the Ethiopian church today, because through that one man, the church grew in Ethiopia. God can ask us to do things. Are we ready and willing to go? Both Ananias and Philip's example shows that God can use the humblest of his servants to do his work. We hardly hear of Philip and Ananias again in the New Testament, yet they were ready and willing to put God's work first when he called them. Let us never be afraid to obey God's call, for God's ways are best. Remember that. And to finish with, if you forget all that I've said this morning, remember these words from the old hymn. Oh, use me, Lord, use even me, just as thou wilt, and when and where. Until thy blessed face I see, thy rest, thy joy, thy glory share. Oh, use me, Lord, use even me, just as thou wilt, and when and where. Until thy blessed face I see, thy rest, thy joy, thy glory share. This is the challenge I put out this morning, as much to me as to you. Are we willing and ready to go and serve our Lord when and where he calls us? Amen.